Spanish Aquí presents. We got a full house today. It's Carlos, Reza, Oscar, Tony, Jordan, Anita.
The family's here.
We never give them love at the beginning.
I know.
And today's the day we do
here.
Hey, yeah.
How's everybody doing on these vaccinated streets? How we all doing? out in these vaccinated streets.
You know, we're just feeling hopeful. At least I think that's where my mindset.
I feel the FOMO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, so Carlos, are you not vaccinated at this moment in time? Not even the first shot.
Here's the situation, and this is really like I was waiting, like some other people, like Reza mentioned that she knows somebody else that was on that
Moist Savior complex.
No, I was waiting for the right time to do it. I honestly no trucos presented themselves for me to get it. But also, to be honest with you, I was kind of worried about getting it during production of Hentified because I didn't know how I was going to react to it.
Right.
So that's basically, everything started to come around in February, and I was like, oh, what if I get anything could happen, and then that's just like days of production. I'm either going to sound or look weird, so I didn't want to take a chance. But since then, I've been like, I had that feeling of like that feeling when you're looking for parking at a Ralph's on a Sunday. And every time you go drive up, everybody's just taking the parking spots and you go around and you always like, it's just that feeling of like, everybody's just getting vaccinated. And I feel like musical chairs. And I'm
that Ralph's on a Sunday.
That was so specific. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, we get it.
No, we totally understand.
And the listeners, Ralph's is a supermarket chain in California.
Yeah.
Is it only exclusively a Californian thing, Ralph's?
I think so. I've never seen Ralph's anywhere else.
I've never seen it anywhere else.
I do think that's a Stephen Sondheim musical, though. Isn't it Sundays in the Ralphs with
Sundays
Carlos?
At the Ralphs? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it a what?
No.
Oh.
Go ahead, Tony.
Explain yourself.
Explain my joke. I'm referencing Sundays in the Park with George, the classic Broadway musical.
Stephen
Sondheim, Bernadette Peters, Mandy Patinkin premiered it. Anyway, Ralphs is a Kroger chain. This just in. I'm live. Spanish IQ presents news. Okay, speaking of vaccines, I got my second one today.
Today,
and I'm a little loopy already. I'm already a little loopy. I apologize in advance, but actually, it's fitting for the Pika today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It
Tony,
is.
You sound different. I feel like you should get vaccinated every time we do the show. It's just like a different side of
it. No. I didn't know.
I know that it makes you loopy, but it just brings out an extra oomph out of you, and I can feel it.
Okay.
And how can we recreate this oomph without you getting vaccinated?
I don't know. Make me feel like I'm on drugs.
Bueno, mira. Okay, thank you for the helpful transition to our
Twice. I'm just handing these segues to you.
Honestly, we did not take it.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
I'm rolling up this joint and putting it in your mouth. Light it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Bueno, if you haven't figured it out yet, mi gente, we are going to talk about marijuana, weed,
ganja. That's a three-syllable word for weed.
Cuatro, Carlitos.
Hey.
Marijuana, damn.
Hey. Damn. It's okay.
We're all
just high on life right
this,
now.
I just have a contact high from Tony's vaccination.
Yeah.
On Zoom, it's that high. Already.
Okay, so we figured, it's going to be this episode drops 420. And, I will say as the resident SAP pot smoker.
Oh, my God.
That,
Potspurt. You're the potspurt.
Potspurt. Potspurt. I'm like, I don't even really, it's funny because I don't, consider myself a big, smoker as much as, I know I obviously, smoke the most out of all of us here, or, because there are some people on the pod, obviously, that don't smoke at all. But, obviously, and I've said it before. Yeah, well, sure. But
how will we ever figure it out?
I've said it before on the podcast how I only usually mostly smoke.
Those are a lot of adverbs.
As it was coming out of my mouth, I was like,
adverbs.
I pre-pandemic, I really, really, really only was smoking to go to sleep. I still do that now. I need it because I have a literal medical condition that keeps me up. all night. And I just kind of started doing it randomly with Indica. And like, I was like, oh, this knocks me the fuck out. Like, whatever. I don't dream. That's one thing that does not happen to me.
Oh, really?
And which is kind
of... We talked about that. You've mentioned this before, that you don't dream. Oh, and we, the question was, do you not dream or do you dream and don't remember?
I don't know.
That's the thing. You probably, odds are you do.
I guess you just don't
remember ever having a lucid dream or a vivid dream.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So I guess my question was going to be to start off, anybody here, I'm like, obviously now that pot is like mostly legalized in a lot of places, obviously here where we are in California, we don't feel like...
As we speak, in New York, yes, it just happened.
Exactly. And so like, we don't feel as like scared to talk about it maybe, because I remember being high school and like, you know, having to go like buy my weed at a drug dealer's house, literally. Like, right. I mean, because
you
it wasn't legal.
You would go to the drug dealer's house? The drug dealer wouldn't come to you?
Oh, yeah, because I didn't want him to know where I lived.
But I said, what neighborhood?
There's places y'all could have met up and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've met up places too, guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a delivery service.
Yeah, there wasn't delivery. Meet me in La Vaquita, like in the parking lot.
What a cool La gig. What a cool gig. Oh, you want some? Here, I'm going
to come to me.
I'm going to drop a
crazy
pin. Come find me.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. You're doing 100% of the labor work.
Yeah.
There. That's insane.
Have any of you guys ever gone to purchase a narcotic? No.
Wait, Raisa, I want to know what neighborhood.
Well, they were all different. I had different people that
I would
go to.
Oh, you had different connects per neighborhood. Wow.
Also,
yeah, it makes, listen, it makes sense.
It.
If she had to travel, you'd be like, I like the weed from this guy, but he's too far right now.
Yes.
And I will say, guy's just more convenient, and the weed is okay.
Yeah.
It's a whole system, Oscar. It's a whole system.
Wow. So it boils down to compromise? There's never been a perfect scenario for you, Raisa?
What's the Goldilocks? The Goldilocks, distance versus quality of weed.
Yeah. And it also depended, like, you know, like sometimes like it was like, okay, like the private Catholic school boy that has the hookup because it's like their friend of a friend, right, or their cousin, whatever, or like themselves that, like, mind you, they're already rich and they're just like rebelling and want to like sell weed and whatever. But I'm like, I feel like, yeah, it's so crazy to me to think like I'm at my age now where I live my life and I could just be like, oh, I need to like get more weed to go to sleep. This is my medicine. And I could just go on my phone, click on an app, literally just send a picture of my license to confirm I'm of age. And okay. And there's like all types of weed like companies too. There's all female owned ones, which I love to purchase from, and like just different ones. But yeah, so I did.
And they come to you. Look at
they
that.
They come to you. Oh, yeah. That. Wow. I've had literally I remember the first time I ordered from the women's one, my friend had referred it to me. I forget the name now. I wish I could remember to plug it, but.
We can put it in the bio.
Yeah. I'll put it in the bio. And like they came and like the, it was all girls, like the only girls that like do the delivery. So they also like can come into your house. So that she sat in my dining, in my kitchen table, whatever. And like opened it up and it was like a pop-up shop, like in my like kitchen.
What the hell?
Table.
Oh, wow. like a demo?
Okay. Yeah, literally.
It's,
like
it's a Tupperware party for stoners.
Yeah, Tupperware party. Except the Tupperware is... Wow. So you went from going to people's houses to literally people like...
Coming to me,
just feeding you the weed. The joint into your mouth. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You also, like, depending where you live in LA now, you can have something literally across the street.
Mm-hmm. You can walk to
like,
one.
It's no longer like you can literally like... instead of walking across the street to... the supermarket or the grocery store, you could literally just stop by dispensaries. They're popping up everywhere. And they're looking like super fancy. Like I know there's some in Hollywood where they go out of the way to show that it's all like a wall of LCD screens and all this stuff.
There's one close to your house, Carlos, that's like this beautiful
literally across,
palm tree
across
theme.
The street.
It's gorgeous. It's stunning.
Literally.
I mean, they're pretty. And it's so funny too, because like, I feel like the staff in all these stores are always like young, cute, like edgy looking girls. Like they like have tattoos and like a really cool hairstyle or haircut and like they're flaquita or like, I don't know. They're dressed like really just like I'm wearing my ripped jeans and like
a
t-shirt. I don't know. There's just like a vibe. And like I remember I had to audition once for like a role like that. And I was like, I know exactly what this look is, because like
it's very
such
Hollister
a vibe.
Where they were, you remember Hollister and Abercrombie?
Oh my god, Hollister.
If you look good, if you dress nice, they'll be like, hey, do you want a job?
Yeah. Oh my, they literally would do that in the one in Miami in Sunset Place. Like you would walk in and they'd be like, if like they found someone attractive, they would literally offer them the job, but not like the unattractive friend next to them. They walked in. I remember that happening.
Because I used to, like in college, I used to buy Hollister. I used to go to Hollister a lot. And it was like, let's see what my self-esteem is going to be like today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, nobody asked me for a job. Anybody? No. Okay.
Oh, right. No.
I'll go fuck off.
Well, what do you think of the stoner identity back when marijuana wasn't legalized versus the stoner mm-hmm. identity today? Like in terms of aesthetic, you mentioned that it's a much more like cool, very like approachable, but also very hipstery vibe. Whereas like where I went to school, the stoners were the opposite of that, like completely unapproachable, sort of deadheads, you know,
mm-hmm. Outcasts.
Yeah, very much outcast. Has there been a change in the way that we perceive people who smoke weed and mm-hmm. stoners?
Absolutely. Oh, for sure. Especially once it became a business, which is, I think, something that I personally have been saying for a long time. I'm like, I always thought to myself, because it's very similar to how alcohol exists in this world. Like, I'm sure as soon as I find a way for it to be monetized in a way that like it goes back to like the government or, you know, like this mm-hmm. is like the way that capitalism works, they're not going to have any problem legalizing it. And I said that a long time ago, and it was only a matter of time. So we're starting to see major cities do that, obviously. And it's helped. Like, look at Denver, like the infrastructure in Denver.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just exploded once that went legal. Like it's been positive. Like, it's,
yeah. I have a friend out there that I went to high school with, and he has his own cannabis company, Robbie Green Thumbs, Birdo. I remember him because of his IG.
Lucky Birdo. Of him to have that last name. It really worked out with that company. Green Thumbs.
Yeah, I know that was his nickname. I don't want to give his government name, but that was his nickname.
Was he in the mafia? Hey, it's Green Thumbs over here. Hey.
No. But he does. He looks like he has really beautiful plants. I feel like I would kill a plant if I had one in my house, though, because I already killed two of my plants that I got in the middle of the pandemic.
Not on purpose. Right?
No. Okay. No, I just suck.
You killed it during the pandemic when you were there all the time?
Listen.
You're so loud. You're annoying. You take up so much space. I can't hear myself.
Story of my life.
The plant is like, I know you got to talk to me so that I can grow.
I know. I did have one in the bathroom and I was like, I wonder if it was just a caca that like just like killed it.
Wow.
Yep. That's a good theory. That's a good working theory.
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. It's a piss.
Yeah, you guys know.
As a non-consumer, is there a ritual that, Raisa, as the resident ex-pot, I'm trying to.
Oh, ooh, I like that.
That sounds like she gave it up though for Lent.
I do. When I go to sleep, I will say though, not to go back to everything I already said, but in the pandemic, I did smoke a little bit more because there were times where I was just like, I can't fall asleep. I need, and it's like whatever.
Or some people do it for appetite, right?
I've been doing it a lot for appetite because I'm not really hungry, and it's so awkward because then I'm like, I don't want to be high while I'm having dinner like all the time. But like I do sometimes have to smoke. I just won't eat, and then 4 o'clock in the morning will hit, and I'm hungry, and it's like, of course you didn't fucking eat. But anyways, yeah, I do it
for you. It's more. Is it a medicinal sort of?
Yes. Yeah. I don't, more than
recreational.
But also like wind down, like you wind down.
Yeah. And I will. I mean, I have been at like, you know, parties or like at the bar or like gone out, you know, like with our friends or whatever. And like, you know, somebody, you know, pulls out a blunt or a joint outside and I'll smoke it. And maybe a little bit. I'm like fine with being crossfaded, but I don't do it all the time. Like, I don't like to drive if I've smoked or like stuff like that. I try to be as safe, like for real, not just because I'm saying this on the podcast. Like, I legit try to be as safe as possible. Like, because
is crossfade different blends? Thinking of it in terms of wine.
Crossfade is when you're drunk and you do weed. When your alcohol and weed come together.
Or anything.
More?
Well, because you could be crossfaded off different drugs. You could do acid and then smoke weed, and that's going to affect your trip differently.
Crossfaded.
it could be anything. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm like, I mean, but that just changes it all up. So yeah. Also, I smoke indica, which is like, it's like when we had Dog Face and he said that that's what he smokes. Like, that's like more of a cool down, chill, indica, like go to sleep.
In the couch.
In the couch.
Yes. Beautiful. Ah. You're
just hanging out in the couch. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you vape? Is that your preferred?
No. Okay. I like smoking from a bowl. I do love a nice blunt. I used to be able to roll them up back in the day in high school, and I just haven't done it in forever. I feel like it's like a, you know, like a, to me, it's like a skill that like I just have to relearn. But yeah, I don't.
It's all in the fingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really? Like magic? Oh, Carlos is demonstrating.
Yeah. What about you, Carlitos? I feel like I'm on interview.
Oh, Carlos is frozen.
Of course he froze.
How convenient. Oh, how absolutely convenient. That's
all right, I'll go. I've tried it like 5 or 6 times and I've hated every time. So I'll support any like legislation for you know, supporting it. But for me, it's terrible. And my brother had a really terrible reaction. So I guess for some of us, it's like, oh, it's a chemical thing. I've never enjoyed it, but I'll support anyone's right to use it and sell it.
And how about you, Oscar? I'm like, you come from a country that obviously drugs, you know, has been a big thing. Like, you know, it's been very prevalent, not just obviously marijuana, but, you know, other types of narcotics.
Right.
So I feel like
Colombia,
you have a
cocaine capital of the world.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. But I'm saying like, just because like that's I feel like might be like a different experience, you know, growing up in a different place like that.
No, I mean, I grew up in Colombia when, like, you know, those paramilitares were, like, trying to kill everybody. And, like, you know, the guerrilla was just, like, out of control. There was, like, pressing issues where I was from, where I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here. But I think for me with weed is, I'm straight edge. I've been straight edge pretty much my whole life. And which is funny because I would say the majority of people that I have met think that I have like a very stonery vibe. And I know that I do. Like, I know I have a stoner vibe. Like, I would think, Ryza, you're the one who smokes pot, but I think out of all of us, I'm the one with like the stoner energy that I bring to the table.
Yeah.
And I'm totally okay. Like, I'm fine with that. I love stoner culture. I love stoners. I love people that like are willing to have deep conversations with me. Like, I'm down for that. Like, stoners are my best friends. I just don't partake in that because there was no interest in that for me. There never was.
I find it, I don't know about you both, because I know Oscar, you don't, you know, you said it, you're straight edge, you don't drink or do drugs. Tony, I know you drink and but you don't partake in drugs. But I was you know, I've read a lot of things and I've seen like other of my friends that are like sober and straight edge, because I will say in Miami, I don't think I really remember having any sober or straight edge friends. Honestly, it's such a party town to me. Also, I was there way younger, so that makes more sense. Obviously, I'm sure like a bunch of them maybe are now, and I just don't talk to those people anymore or whatever. But
that's a good point, Ryza, though, that you bring up, because it's like the people that you surround yourself with. Like, like you said, you in high school, that's who you hung out with. It became like a social thing to do. For me, it was quite the opposite. Like in high school, all my friends were straight edge. Those were the people that I hung out with. In college, my roommate was straight edge. And it was just like by luck. It was crazy. Like we were just like, what the this is crazy. So socially, I didn't do that stuff.
Yeah. But you guys are at a lot of parties and events with me and with other mutual friends that we all have. And a lot of them are drinking or smoking or, you know, maybe they dropped Molly that day, whatever that is, like, you know, but which is another drug that like, again, has like, I remember Molly, like, you know, like rolling balls, like in like Miami, that was like, oh my goodness. Like when, if you know, cause that was so, we were so known in Miami for people like literally dying off these drugs, ecstasy and stuff like that. And now it's like, again, it's becoming to me like talking about weed. We're like, everybody's like, oh yeah, I'll just drop a Molly. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Right. Like microdosing is a thing.
Exactly. But I wanted to ask you guys, how do you feel when people, because I feel like I've seen people ask others like, oh, why don't you drink? Or, oh, why don't you smoke? Or just do a little bit. And I
hate
when that happens in front of me. I just like, I don't like, I feel like I'm always like, I have come many times to defend like the person, if it's like my close friend, especially. And I feel like confianza, I'm like, don't ask that. I think I'm like, I think that's so rude because you don't know if anybody has a legit like trauma that is going to trigger. Like, why would you say, you know what I mean? But also they don't need to explain yourself. Like, you don't have to ever explain yourself to me why you don't do it. I've never asked you. I've just acknowledged it and like respected it. Right. So like, I guess my question is, how have you guys dealt with that when it has happened? Because I'm sure there's been rude as fuck people that have done that to you. Maybe they don't mean it on purpose as well, but it's something to like think about.
Yeah. Also, someone who might be, let's say, might be recreationally high, might be in a different mind state of mind, too.
Exactly.
So yeah, it is rude. And I agree with you. Like, invite someone. And if they want it, that's fine. But to push. But I'd also, that's a turnoff, too, when someone's like, high and they want to push something on you. But I don't smoke. I don't have any desire for it. So it's not a problem for me.
I think it's interesting because like in my 20s, I got that a lot. In my teens and 20s, I got a lot of people like being straight up bullies about like, come on, drink. What do you mean you never drank before? This is, you're stupid for doing that. And I was a little like fed up with it, but I didn't fucking care. Again, like all my closest friends were straight edge or sober. So like whatever. But as I'm getting older, what's interesting is the connotation that people think that I am sober because I was, I had a dependency on alcohol or drugs.
Exactly.
And so the weird, tricky thing that I'm navigating now in my 30s is people being like, oh, come drink with me. And I'm like, oh, I don't drink. Or like, oh, come, you know, recreationally, like use drugs. And I'm like, oh, I don't really do that. And the immediate reaction is like, oh, when did you decide to get sober? And like, oh, like you must have had. And I'm like, no, I never did. And I... You know, it's like that's not part of my story. That's not part of my narrative. So
yeah. Do you guys think being Latinx is like we have like more people like that like smoke like in our like group and stuff? Do you think it's because we do comedy? Do you think it's because we're in LA and it's legal? Like, I wonder what is the thing, because again, in Miami, like it's still like, yeah, it's like now like more legal. I think you have to have a card now. I think they recently just legalized Florida. But you do have to have like the card. Mm-hmm. But again, like still like, I feel like it's still like very like, scary. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers talk about that, but you're taking bumps like right here. Or what, you know what I mean? Where it's so funny to me because like people will talk about cocaine chill as fuck there. But then like it's like weed feels scary sometimes. And I'm like, it's just such a flip for me,
like,
I guess.
Drug like snobbery.
Yeah, it is kind of snobby. That's funny.
Cocaína sí, pero eso sucio.
Ay, sí.
Ese humo eso, no.
Ay, no, pues.
A mí me gusta la nieve.
Ajá, puro blanco. No mota. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I was wondering if you guys have any thoughts on that. Like, do you think that because of what we do, because of, you know, whatever, like, is do you see more people like smoking or less people smoking in your circles? Or
that's interesting.
I think maybe because like in this quote unquote business, a lot of it is like the networking aspect and the social part of it. And again, drugs and alcohol are a social, I mean, they're not only a social thing, but mostly a social thing of like connecting. We've built a society around using and not really drugs actually, but more alcohol, like alcohol being the social connective tissue, right? We go on dates, where do we go? Bars. We go on after work, where do we socialize? At bars, right? Like, we've built a society where alcohol is the predominant way that we get to talk to each other. We are a little mentally lubricant, you know, we're freer, we can socialize, we can hang out. Drugs help that, alcohol helps that. I think in our industry, that's a lot more prevalent. But I also think because we're Latinx, a lot of our culture is tied to alcohol. I mean, talk about tequila, aguardiente, you know, like rum. we have rum. I mean, like culturally speaking, like that kind of stuff is so tied to who we are. And again, we are a social culture, that sense of familia, the community. Like, so it's one of these things where it's like,
Yeah.
They go hand in hand. They're like interconnected.
Yeah. Cause like, I think of like, okay, like you saying all of this and then, you know, talking and like saying, you know, rum and cerveza and all that. Like, I just got like an image of like Cuba and like Cubans dancing, drinking mojitos or rum and coke and like smoking una, like a cojiba and like just like, yeah, sure. Maybe somebody's smoking and passing the blunt or whatever that is. I don't know. Like, and it does like, obviously like visually look like so colorful and like fun, but I do think like definitely like that. I mean, is,
and it's
sure.
a pachanga, like legit, like it's a party, like do all that stuff. Like if you want to connect, the problem is abusing that stuff, you know, like associating the
Carlos is back.
I was gonna say, I have a question, I have a follow up question to anybody from Miami. Do you think that the way that they see weed versus coke is because coke is just like a little thing that you put it, like there's no aftermath, like, but when you smoke for the general, like it's either like a smoke that comes out or a smell that people associate, like this is like a thing that if you do coke you just like have a thing and you go and nobody can see anything, and
it's definitely more tidy.
Yeah, like, you think that has to do with it?
You can be more subtle about it, too.
Right. Sure. I just think that Miami is, and I love Miami. I love my city. I rep it fucking hard. But I do think that it's more about the bouginess, even more so than LA is. LA is más tropical, más like chill. Miami's
That's funny that LA is más tropical in your mind than Miami itself, which is literally in the tropics.
But I get it, though.
No,
I get
it. Is,
I
the
think,
vibe.
I think LA is such like a stoner central. Yeah. I mean, the vibe is like stoner vibe. LA 100%. Vibe is stoner vibe. You know?
Yeah.
But Miami is not that at all.
I mean, like, I don't know how many times I've been like doing a transaction in Miami with someone and I'm like, oh, this bitch is fucking coked the fuck up. Because and I'm like, I talk fast, but like still. Like,
you gotta do a bump just so that you can talk at this, so you can understand each other. Hold on, lady.
Yeah.
Okay, now I hear you. I understand you.
But I do think to answer it fully is like, I mean, again, I don't really know Miami vibe as much because I've been in LA so long. I still am Miami at heart, but like I do think that like the vibe is still a little pretentious. Like even when I go back, I just feel like it's more like bougie and superficial and like I've never fucked with that. Like I had my épocas like in high school where I was like, oh my god, like I need to wear like the Louis Vuitton and the Gucci and the Balenciaga, but like it's just I don't.
Wait, so what you're saying is that Miami is more a cocaine city because cocaine is a higher social class drug than weed, which is a lower class drug.
That is exactly what
I'm
saying.
And that's because of the 80s and the history that Miami has with coke.
Sure. I mean, that's where you get the best. I think that's where people say you get the best one in the United States. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know what that would even mean. But that's like word on the streets or like in the movies or like, you know, whatever we want to call it. I don't know.
Has there ever been like a celebratory day for coke in Miami? Like a 420, but for coke?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, maybe there's like a Scarface day. I have no idea.
There must be. There must be a Scarface day.
I don't know. I will say I do love all the like I love the like vibe. It's funny. I'm like, I do love the coke vibe in movies like Scarface and like Casino. Like I love like the like outfits and the hair and the makeup and the glitter. I'm like, so yeah, like I know again that is a different like época and stuff like that, but like I've always wanted to have a birthday party with like that theme. Not but I don't know. I just think it's like fun to dress up like in those worlds, but I don't know.
That's
just
the part you want to recreate in your birthday party.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll have bags for everyone. As you walk in, it's your party favorite. I'm just all right. Could you imagine? I'm like, that would probably be so much money.
It's confectioner like, sugar. It's okay. It's confectioner sugar.
Add it to put your sprinkles on your cupcake.
You know what that reminds me of? Confectioner sugar. It reminds me of when I would put cocaine in my coffee.
Motherfucker. Could you imagine doing un cafecito and then doing like a line? That's like,
I'm sure somebody's tried that.
I mean, talk about cross-faded, huh?
Yes.
sweet and high.
Oh boy.
Sounds wild. All right.
So we should take a cafecito break.
Well, we solved it. So that's important.
Yeah, we solved it.
Buckles, celebrate 420. Like, if you're a pot smoker and you're listening to this, like, do your thing. Like, just like be happy, be free, as long as you're doing it safely and not, you know, handling any heavy machinery.
Mm-hmm. Anybody in construction, be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, any welders who are stoners, like, do one or the other. Have you seen that, though?
Like, the things, like, just do not handle. Like, don't do while pregnant and while heavy machinery. Like, it's, like, the only two.
That Venn diagram is very small.
Very limited. But I'm sure there is.
Construction women.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm a go smoke a bowl and get a little cafecito. Cross-faded. Slurp.
Slurp. Slurp.
Slurp puff.
Yeah.
Okay, slurp, slurp, slurp. And I'd like to add three more slurps to that. We're back from our cafecito break. You know, it's very weird when I do it. I try to slurp.
I can confirm.
With confidence. Confirm, yes. But yeah. It's, you know, it's a work of progress. But guys, it's time for our guest for this episode. Holy shit. Holy shit. This lady right here is a force of nature. You can catch her on so many different mediums. Okay, you can catch her currently on a movie, De Lo Mio, on HBO right now. You can see her on Vimeo. She has a digital series called Dating Has No Mercy. She's on Fused with Dímelo.
Like your Dímelo.
And she has a podcast too called Brownish Life, which I have been on.
Yeah.
And yeah, is that so far so good?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Sasha Mercy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. It's about time.
I know.
How's it going?
Everything's good. You know, obviously, you know, 2020 has been, you know, a year for everyone. But yeah, everything's just been good. Just finding different ways to be creative. So I'm leaning more on social media. Sure. Just, I mean, that's how I started doing sketches and doing rants. And, you know, I feel like 2020 really taught you like to be grateful for what you have. And I think that I'm like, you know, this is what I have. This is the talent that I've been blessed with. So I kind of just been pumping out more content than usual.
So it's like a renaissance for you. Not a renaissance, but like an explosion of creativity. Mine lasted for like a month. At the beginning of quarantine.
That is real. That is true.
I was
that
like, TikTok, I'm making TikToks. And then by May, I'm like, I'm done. I can't. This is not sustainable. I cannot.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I want to get off it, right? Like, I want to be that person to just be like, I want to get off social media and just like book something and stuff like that. Because it's like, you have to constantly like, what's the trend? What is this? What are people talking about?
Yeah.
And you know, like sometimes like, I don't care. But then like, I have ADHD too. So it's like, after a while, I just have to be like, I have to do something. What am I doing? I got to make a joke. I got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, sometimes if you can't help it, that's good. If your brain is like, hey, we have things to say.
Right.
Can you just point a camera towards us, please?
Yeah. I mean, you also just recently had a TikTok that went pretty viral, I think. Ooh. And it was so funny. Can you talk to us about that? Because I'm like, I'm sure a bunch of people listening saw it. Like, for sure.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
Right. So you're talking about I'm going to the streets, right? That one?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am.
So
you're like, which viral one do you mean?
You're like, you're talking about...
Be specific, Risa.
She's like, the one that I look super hot in and I'm funny. That one. Thank you.
No, so basically, like, there's this guy on TikTok that he made that song, and it just seems like it was just like a boom boom cat song, and he was just like dancing. He's like, I'm going to the streets are cold. And I'm like, yo, that is, I just really pictured myself just taking a flight to New York and going to Washington Heights and just being like, we out here again, you know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously I'm in LA, so I was like, man, what are the things that remind me of home, and what are the things that I'm going to be doing once I get vaccinated? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too, because the comments were like, some people were like, oh, you're a clown for this. Like, you don't even know what you're telling people to put in their bodies. And I'm like, at this point in time, like, there's probably like, you know, there's harmful things in everything. Like, you know that we're
you
literally...
know what's harmful? COVID.
Yeah, COVID yeah. is harmful, but also it's
get
just
that
like,
in your system, see what happens.
Right. And they're like, oh, they're like, you don't know. And then some people are like, man, shut up. You know, it's like all these armchair scientists in the comments. And it's just mm-hmm. like, at the end of the day, I'm not forcing you to do anything. This is what yeah. I'm going to do. And mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to do with my time. And yeah. that's what I want to do. Like, you know, I just want to be funny and goofy and whatever. And it's just like, I've been getting so many DMs. And one of my DMs, and then, you know, one of my DMs, LL Cool J was like what? One of the, yeah.
Go on, freaking girl, LL, go
a
on.
Fucking yeah. legend, bro.
Yeah. Heard of him.
And it wasn't even on some like, no creepy shit, no nothing. It was just like, yo, like, kind of like, keep doing what you're doing kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
on, I caught you with your man, smiling, huh? I caught you back with your hand. I got hey, with the hat turned back. I got eyes for a moment, and that was that. So I skated off. I'm done.
Yeah, oh I was just
I don't know why I know that song, Hey Lover, with Boyz II Men.
I hope that when he was DMing you, que se estaba ahí sentado with, con la gorrita. Oh my God, please. I like, know. Shirtless con la gorrita. That's it. Yeah, that's how I imagine it.
I was just like, what the fuck? Like, it was just so surreal. It was surreal. I have been getting attention from a lot of people and they were like, oh my God, this is just like so funny. That's what I'm going to be doing. Blah, blah, blah. But it was fun when I did it. It was fun. I didn't even think it was going to go viral. I was just like, you know, this
is usually how it is when you're not even thinking about it because you're not worried about how people are going to react.
Right. And I think that's the thing too. It's like, you know, when you get to a certain status in like social media world, like when people kind of know you, you know, the way that I started off, I was talking so much crap and I was cursing all scandalous. The time. I was very scandalous. And yeah, like you look back and you're like, you know, maybe I never said that, you know. And then you're always putting like this, these boundaries now that you aren't being as free as you used to. And, you know, it's like I wake up every day now and I'm like, what's my intention? Like, my intention is to help people heal through humor because, you know, like traumas are real or things yeah. are real. Like, yeah, I don't know. The funny thing about that video as well is like, yeah, I don't know if it's going to kill me. All I know is that it's going to make it easier for me to get on flights. Like, that's all I know. Maybe my ignorance, you know what I'm saying? That's the whole joke of it. It's just a joke or whatever. Yeah. And so that's what I was thinking about it. I was just like, you know what? Like, if people take it serious, it's up to them. If they don't...
You can't expect anybody on the internet to take anything the way it's supposed to be. I mean, just anymore, common sense is out the window. And people are going to... Le van a buscar 20 patas al gato. Whatever it is that you post. Mm-hmm. So might as well just...
Yeah, that's the thing with the comedians. Like, now during... Not the comedians, but, like, the comedy stuff now. I think, like, so many people are, like, taking so much so serious. Yeah. And it's like, how no, this is, you. Like, a bit. And it's, like, I'm really gullible, so I just believe so many things that I see. But, like, a video like yours is... Like, I'm not here, like, oh, my God, this girl is trash. How
can
dare
believe?
She? But, like,
there's
not
nothing
more,
funny
yeah.
about
let's
what she said
this video.
Let me,
let's
oh my God.
Do.
But, like, she
did
looks
you hear
really,
what she used
really
to say
good, but, like,
back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of, obviously you are huge on you know, the interwebs with all the socias, but you know, before that, what is like where does Sasha grow up and what inspired Sasha to want to do comedy? Like what was that thing?
Well, I always wanted to be an entertainer, right? I wanted to be a singer, really. I wanted to uh-huh. sing. I wanted to be the next Whitney Houston. I do sing, but it's
you
like...
You do stuff, you get away with it.
Yeah, I do get away with it.
You exercise that demon very well.
Yeah, always. A little no here, a little there. so, like, yeah, you know, I wanted to be a serious singer. Like, I wanted to go on stage and be like, Diablo, this girl, she's breaking my heart with that note. You know what I mean? So... Like, I wanted to react to, like, how my dad reacts to the Beyonce and Ed Sheeran song. He's like, you look good tonight. Get what?
I am
por la maceta, esa canción. You know what I mean? Like, like that's what I want. You know, people that don't speak
impact
my language.
People that way, yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
People that don't even speak English or whatever, they just want to. So that's what I wanted to do. But my family, they're comedians, you know? We went through so much as a family. We went through so much loss as a family that the way that we cope is through comedy. And so, like, you know, I'm in a fair baby. I'm in a fair child. Mm. Okay? So my dad was married. My mom was married. And they was having fun and boom, here I am. You know what I'm saying? And so both families was like, who the fuck is this, you know? And, you know, from my dad's side of the family, my brothers, they're very funny in like a goofy way. It's like, ooh, you know, kind of goofy. And then in my mom's side of the family, they're more like intellectual humor. Like, oh. You know, so I feel so like
you meet them in the middle.
I meet them in the middle. Mm-hmm. Right. So just being around so many comedians and like just people that never thought this could be an outlet for them. That's what made me funny. And then, you know, when social media came out with Instagram came out with the video feature, I would start doing like videos and jokes, and it grew from there, you know?
Awesome.
And that's when I was really like, oh, this is something that I really can pursue. And here I am.
Look at that.
Yes. Did you do live stuff as well before like the videos on like Instagram?
No. Right. No. So I started the videos first.
Okay.
Then have you could curse here?
Oh yes, the more the better, please, because
heck, Mira, yeah. Like, actually, we have a quota, so if you could curse, yeah, a lot,
yo soy la cochina. I'm the one always saying the vulgar shit right here, and the boys say,
okay, we family. No, so yeah, like, it's because the way that I speak is just like always cursing and shit. So So like I was growing on social media and I was building a following, and then I was like, somebody's like, yo, you should try stand up because I feel like your rants can work well on a set. And I was like, all right, cool. So then I go, I'm feeling myself because I'm like, I'm fucking funny. I got, at the time, maybe I had like 40,000 when that shit was something. I was like, can nobody see how I go? I'm sticking up. Like, I'm taking all y'all monies, right? I go on stage, I eat a dick. Nobody laughs. Nobody laughs. And I was like, fuck out of here. I might as well have like thrown the mic on the floor and be like, fuck y'all. Y'all don't know what comedy is, you know? And then I did that, and then I just, maybe I'm a masochist or whatever, and then I would just start going back on like, no, I'm a poop to that's, people I'm funny.
That's what you,
yeah.
No, I'm funny.
I'll prove it.
And it started from there. I just remember being in the New York nightlife when it came to like stand-up comedy and just being around so many stand-up comedians and just seeing their set and just learning so much. And then I started, me and Dee, we started curating this live show called Sancocho together. Mm-hmm. And it would start to sell out. And because we were known for our social media stuff, we also brought on like stand-up comics so that we can introduce those stand-up comics to our audience. Because for them, they're like, oh my God, you girls are the funniest thing that I've ever seen. And then they're like, oh shit, there's more funny people. You know what I mean? Cause I feel like my audience wasn't really, they didn't know what stand-up comedy mm-hmm. is or
could be. Yeah.
Or could be. You know what I'm saying? Like they probably just, Kevin Hart, oh, Dave Chappelle, you know what I'm saying? But they don't know that there's just and all men too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just don't know that there's just so many more funny people that are right around the corner. Like, hilarious people right on the corner.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And I just like, that's something that I want to continue doing and figure out like how to do it after the quarantine.
I speaking of it, I watched you do stand up for the first time. I'm definitely a fan of you from before, like from social media. So many of my Latina friends are like, oh my God, you need to meet Sasha. You need to meet Sasha. Also, I feel like I'm saying your name so Miami. So
I love it.
Yeah. As it comes out of my mouth, I'm like, oh my God, Sabina. But I saw you because we headlined for a show for HBO Latino here with Remezcla like a while back. And so like they always, you know, Maggie and Deb and Kay, the whole team, they always like invite us to a lot of like the Latino, HBO Latino events. And I watched you do stand up and I was just like, you crushed it. What an incredible, like weird situation to have to do stand up just to give, exactly. So like to, let me paint a little picture for the listeners. They were in they were on stage. The stand-ups were on stage by themselves. And then on the side, it was like a bunch of screens and you could see all the people like me that were part of the audience. But we were like, I don't know if we were supposed to be on mute or not or whatever. And then some people left their, they didn't have their mute on. So like you were hearing like somebody like regañar su daughter, like, oye, mijita, ven para acá, coño, whatever, like in the background. And then like the person trying to do stand up, it was wild. It's a pandemic. HBO Latino did like the best, like that, you know, like they provided liquor and everything. It was fun. They were killing it. So it was a contest. I voted for you. I think you were so good. You looked so cute. Your outfit was the cutest too. Can you talk to us about...
Also, this outfit right now is cute as hell too. Yeah. I was going to say, I was like, yo, talk to me about this top right
so,
now.
This is Roberta Einer. Roberta Einer. Wow. I got from a thrift shop because I refuse to pay full motherfucking price.
Don't even anything. When you even when you rich don't that's how you stay rich
right
if you could talk to us a little bit about that experience, because I know like so many people have been dying to do live anything. Like if you do live stuff, you've just been dying, like whether it's theater, singing, dancing, improv, sketch, stand-up. How was that for you, you know, from beginning to end?
So it was a very unique experience because obviously, you know, this was an unforeseen thing that could have happened, right? So I was so I just went on stage and I just tried to be as confident as possible. Even though I was nervous, I think we were all nervous, and you know, all these comedians were great, you know. And it's funny because obviously when I went on stage, a lot of people's mics were muted, right? So when I was saying my jokes, it was hard for me to like not be like, because I can see people laughing. I can see them laughing, but I can't hear them. And I'm looking at the screen and everybody's laughing and I literally cannot hear them, right? But I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to go. I'm just going to keep on going. And stuff like that. And then when I watched the actual video and I'm saying my jokes, it was like a Def Jam. Nobody was there. Like, it was just like, you couldn't hear nothing. I'm saying my joke and you hear like crickets and you're like.
You're like, I know, huh? You're like, oh, applause break, applause break, applause break.
It was so wild. Everybody was so different. Yeah, we've been asked to do improv from the beginning of the pandemic. Y te lo voy a decir aquí que like, in the beginning, I was like, I don't know, let me ask. And then we were all like, no. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I like was not on like board.
I feel
for
like
it.
That's next level. Literally, the last time I performed was at your show, Brownish Live, Laugh Factory, like 2 weeks before the lockdown. And it's either Zoom, which is what you just described, or I give it up to the comedians that are going out and doing the drive-in stuff, which I've said before is like, so triggering to hear honking when you're saying jokes. Like, bro, I'm from Puerto Rico. When you honk at somebody's gonna get shot. Like, that's not.
No.
It's PTSD. So, like, I give it up for y'all for trying to.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was crazy. It was very difficult because, you know, and then it's like your ego too, right? You're like, you know what? Fuck, I did a fucking great job. Nobody fucking here. You know, like, I was really in my head about it. And then, what made it worse, right, is that my brother, he was watching the show. And then it's like, you know, some people were like, yo, you were great. You were amazing. I was cracking up and I can see that. But I guess also for other people that probably didn't think I was funny, they're like, you see, this bitch is dumb. You know what I'm saying? Why'd you open your mouth? You know what I'm saying? So my brother goes, he's like, it's because you were saying the same jokes. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
No, you were, listen. The comments were blowing up, Sasha. Yeah, so don't worry. I'm like,
I appreciated that. At the end of the day, it was a great experience, you know, and I'm very grateful to HBO, you know, for giving me the opportunity because, you know, you got to see my stand up. A lot of people that weren't familiar with my work got to see my work.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I take pride in the pain that I'm turning into humor. You know what I'm saying? So
it's como Taylor Swift. But
right. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. I'm very grateful for it.
Hell yeah. And speaking of HBO, you also have a movie there that you're on. Can you talk to us a little bit about that movie? And
yeah.
Why, tell the people why they need to watch it. Tell the people.
They need to watch it because it's mad real. It's just a family story. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have these siblings that, you know, are Dominican American, and then you have the Dominican child who was like born and raised in the Dominican Republic, and he just never got the visa to come to America. And I just feel like it's a typical like immigrant story, you know, where it's just like what happens to multiple immigrant families where, you know, a parent comes to America and they start a new family, you know, and they have their kids, and they try to go, either they try to get a visa or they just, you know, they just stay behind. And it's just, you get to see the difference of these three siblings, like trying to be a family. And I think that it's very heartwarming in that matter. And the director did an amazing job at the vision that she wanted. You know what I mean? It was very artsy. It was a very emotional film. It was very moving, especially if, again, your parents are immigrants and they'll take you back to the island, and it's very nostalgic in that way.
Yeah. And she, I was going to say too, sorry, I'm like, no, yeah, I was going to say, I love the cinematography. So I love that you said that it was artsy, because it's really beautiful. Like you could put it on mute and it's just so beautiful to just like watch.
Don't say that to her. She's still like reeling in from the stand-up thing. Don't, no. She's like acting, right? So what are you doing? She's still triggered by that. Why would you say that?
That's a compliment.
Of course.
Just kidding.
She's all like, okay,
Mira, you can put it on mute and you can watch people enjoy it inside. Silence.
I didn't have it on mute. It's just it just was really pretty. Like, you know, like sometimes a movie's good, but beautiful. It's like visually not like appealing. And like when something's visually appealing, I'm just like, ooh, fun colors or whatever that is. I'm like, but that movie was. It was really pretty.
She was honestly, visually, she knew what the fuck she wanted to do. And I just commend her for it, because I never thought it was gonna make it to HBO. You know what I'm saying? And not saying that I didn't think the project was great. I was just like, you know, she sent me the script through, she DM'd me. Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's slid how it started. DMs. She slid into my motherfucking DMs, and she was like, yo, I have an idea for a film. I want you and your cousin to be part of it. Yeah.
So that's even more.
I love it.
She showed me the treatment, and then she sent me the script, and I'm like, you know, I want to be part of it, because it's something that rang true to me and my family. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It felt like a story.
That's important, yeah.
That was important and, you know, needed
something
to be said.
You feel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also too, it reflects on you, because you're Dominicana and you're from the Bronx too. Like, how does being Dominican and from the Bronx reflect your comedy?
It's everything, you know? It's my whole identity. It's who I am, you know what I mean? I always been proud to be Dominican American, and being a New Yorker on top of that, because I also feel like there's a culture in New York City that's very unique, unlike any place in America, right? Where, you know, it feels like every culture bleeds into one another. So it's like, you know, you're gonna know, you're gonna have an Indian friend, you're gonna have a friend that's Black, you're gonna have an Asian friend, and all of that kind of like weaves into one another, and it just becomes like an attitude, you know? It's like Jennifer Lopez said, it was like, no, you're dumb. Okay. I know what I'm talking about. Like, it's like this whole attitude. So like, I try to not try. I just show up as me as much as possible. And for that, I'm very grateful for where I grew up and, you know, my parents moving out here to make the dream come true.
It's a recipe. It's interesting how every major city deals with all that stuff and puts out such different content and vibe, and like, it's really,
yeah, it's weird. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's great, because now it's so specific, you know, that you get to literally just stay true to it, and it speaks to people that are not even been to New York, and that's really right. That's why it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, mira, si yo soy Dominicana and I'm, you know, somewhere else in the middle of, you know, nowhere, the Midwest or something. Yeah. And I see you on social media, or I see you on, you know, HBO or your special or whatever that is. Like, even though maybe that person is not from New York, like they are going to relate to it, you know, even more. And it's like, you don't got to even be in DR. Like, it's still like so strong for sure in New York. So that's tight.
Yeah.
before we go, I want to make sure that we get to plug all things Sasha. So we obviously talked about, you know, your comedy and stuff, but I wanted to see if there was anything else coming up or, you know, that you wanted to talk about before.
Not right now. I'm just like, just writing, you know, trying to work on some new things. But yeah, right now it's like Cher Dimelo on Fuse, De Lo Mio on HBO Max, Brownish Live, which is a podcast that we do every Monday. But who knows? Like, once the world opens up, we could finally probably do our stand-up shows like we've been wanting to do. And yeah, just I'm going to start doing more stand-up shows.
I love that.
Is June official when I think comedy clubs? Is that the word?
June 15th, everything's open.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like the world, I think. Yeah. Well, the U.S. at least, I guess. I can't speak for any the rest of the world. Okay. I don't even know.
Fool me 100 times.
Bueno, mira, when you're in L.A. and we have our show also open, I'm like, you definitely.
Yeah, you gotta come for sure.
We gotta have you on, do some stand up, be a guest, lo que sea.
Well, I am in L.A. I live in L.A.
I've been living in L.A for three years.
She said she was in L.A. She has such a New York energy. Like, there's no way. There's no way she's in L.A. right now.
I thought you had gone back because of the pandemic. I wasn't sure. I didn't understand if you had, like, gone back there because of
that. I found a boyfriend out here. And then I found my boyfriend a week before the shutdown.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Perfect.
And you guys.
We already made a year.
What a bubble for you.
Yeah. We already made a year. I don't even think he's ready. Like, I don't think he understands. Like, I'm a stand-up comic. I'm always traveling. He's like, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay. I've had you in a pod for a year. This works.
She's all like, don't get too attached.
You're like, June 15th.
Nah, he's good.
So good. I love it. Well, okay, bueno, mira, está más fácil. Ya estás aquí, so. Like, now you can't say no.
I know. Right.
You're sharing location.
In blood, you're just not the same, Sasha. Since everything opened up, you've changed.
Right. Oh my gosh. Sasha, we love you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Definitely can't wait to meet you in person, a fish. Can you let all our fans know where they can follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram as Sasha Mercy. And it's M-E-R-C-I, not M-E-R-C-Y. Okay. And yeah, so as Sasha Mercy on TikTok, on Twitter, and on Instagram.
That's important that you say that because a lot of people say Sasha Mercy, but it's Mercy.
Yeah, it's Mercy. Like, thank you. And it's my website too. You could go to my website and check out all the work that I've done, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah,
SashaMercy.com.
Shout out to the websites because we put in a lot of work. I know mine. I worked on it for 2 weeks in the middle of the pandemic. I was like, I'm just going to spruce this up. It's been 4 years. and yes, I'm like, yeah. I always be plugging that too. Yes, I love that you did that.
Yeah, GoDaddy.com.
Yeah. actors, comedians, get your website updated. You've had a pandemic here. Figure it out.
That feels like a read, but it's not. We're not selling anything.
I'm not. I'm literally not.
No, not sponsored
Wix
at all.
Wix is not sponsoring me, but they should. yes. And you guys can follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG. And Spanish Aquí on the Twitter. You could follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Raisa Licea for both.
And you can follow me at, of course, it's Carlos on Instagram. You can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony at
Tony Boku.
Oh, that was good. Oh my God. Yes. You guys are killing it with the Tony
Boku. Perfect. Okay. Tony Boku. No, but you can actually follow Tony Rodriguez at the Tony Rodriguez on Instagram and Twitter. And you should check out the Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show.
Yeah. And tell us how much you love us.
Yeah.
Sasha, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, you're welcome, dude.
I don't say this a lot, but like, thank you.
Thank you.
Whoa,
I would have been eating ramen just right now, and like, I'm not even wearing pants right now. I'm just wearing this.
I believe it. As we slow fade out of the
air. Anyway, slow fade.
See you on the catching waves later.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, totally.
You struggled on that one, Carly.
Yeah, it's, listen, it's, that's it. I'm clapping.
Dale.